welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Romance in this hour. Later on, The Theater of Romance from 1945. But first, it's Stars Over Hollywood with the story Moonlight Sonata, a CBS episode from May 31st, 1952.
This is Anita Louise with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's greatest stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as John Payne, Joan Crawford, Dean Stockwell. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you on this 11th anniversary of our show, one of its very first stars and one of your favorites, Anita Louise. The story, Moonlight Sonata. Curtain going up.
They tell me, and my diary confirms it, that I was manager of the ladies' wear department in the most distinguished store in Upper Clay, New York, the Swank branch of one of New York City's finest stores. There had been some misunderstanding about alteration of an expensive suit for a woman, and the clerk appealed to me. Curiously enough, it was a young man, a Mr. Richard Mannering, whom I had to deal with. Even more curiously, the young man seemed to lose his composure when he saw me, stared at me while I tried to make some sense of our conversation. The young lady who waited on you says that there's some confusion over the alteration charges on Mrs. Mannering's suit.
Yes. Yes, confusion.
If there's any adjustment I can make for your wife.
Wife?
Yes. What may we do?
Oh, no, not my wife. Oh, no.
Mrs. Mannering, then. I beg your pardon.
Yes, my mother. Tell me your name.
Fabre. Raquel Fabre. I manage this department.
Fabre.
I wonder if you realize you're being very rude.
Raquel Fabre.
As I started to say, I will instruct Miss Kelly to make the adjustment.
You're lovely.
Either you're drunk or out of your senses or simply colossally impertinent. Excuse me.
Oh, no, wait. Please. It's so important. Wait, please.
I returned to my office. Work became impossible until I found out who he was. Richard Mannering and his domineering mother were the last of one of the early New York families. The fact that they were the last of the line served to concentrate a substantial fortune in only two hands. Yes. And I began to regret my annoyance with Richard Mannering. Then, shortly before the store closed for the day... Manager's office, Miss Fabre.
Miss Fabre, think what you like of my behavior in the store today, but forgive me. And you must let me see you again.
Mr. Mannering?
Yes. Will you have dinner with me tonight?
Well, this is all very hard, you know.
I know, but please bear with me.
I'd miss my train. You see, I commute between here and New York.
Well, let me drive you to New York. We'll have dinner there.
Well...
You must. I'll call for you in 10 minutes.
You see, Miss Fabre, I'm not really mad, am I? Not really.
What an alarming reservation. Not really.
I made a spectacle of myself in the store today. I don't know what you think of me.
Neither do I, yet.
Then you'll reserve judgment a while longer?
I'll have to, won't I?
That'll take some more time together, you know.
Yes. Yes, I know. It was all too easy, too pitiful. Richard Mannering's demotion to me was calf-like, and as bewildering as it was gratifying. He ignored all other women to worship me. And then there was a strange evening, as strange and disturbed as Richard and his mystic love. We'd been skiing in the Presidential Range and had stayed the latest before the darkening embers of the fireplace in the big lodge. It seemed the right time to find out more about the man I'd planned to marry.
Embers. Fire to embers to darkness. I wonder, can it go the other way again?
Richard.
Raquel, have you ever felt that something you're doing or experiencing has happened before?
I think everyone has had that experience. Why?
This has all happened before.
Are you going to have one of your moods again, dear?
Allow me this mood. Allow me to think that I love you as no man should love any woman. For the peace of his own soul, for the security of his own...
Don't say it!
Well, why not?
I dislike extravagant sentiment.
I live for sentiment.
It's a fatal weakness in our armor, sentiment.
Is my love for you weakness?
Richard, why do you love me?
You mustn't question such things. No more than you'd ask the price of a gift. I love you. I can't tell you why.
Or you won't.
You've never been in love. I'm not sure you are now.
Because I ask questions?
Can't you accept things simply for what they are?
If I know what they are, Richard, I don't know you. I know little of your present and less of your past.
I know nothing of your past.
What? What do you want to know?
Nothing. No, not anything.
I respect you and marvel at you for being able to love without question.
Oh, no, not without question.
What?
Not without question. Without questioning.
Do you doubt me, Richard?
All right, Carol, what's the difference? Take me on faith as I take you, and let there be an end of this probing and doubting.
Accept each other on faith.
Please.
This, unhappily, is a world of contracts and guarantees and not of blind faith, Richard.
Ever the efficient businesswoman, ever the manager of her department, and a success.
Yes. Yes, I am a success.
Yes, Raquel, a vital, dynamic, beautiful woman.
Somehow, the way you say it, it doesn't seem a compliment.
Good night, dear.
Very well, Richard.
Believe in me.
Very well.
If thou must love me, let it be for naught except for love's sake only.
Oh, and what have we there?
Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I thought you knew the poem.
No, that was for someone else, dear.
Raquel, stop tormenting me.
Tormenting? And what do you call it when you quote poetry that suggests that I might love you for more than yourself alone?
I didn't know you loved me for anything. Though anything would be better than nothing.
You must be mad.
No. I don't know. Forgive me.
Forgive you?
I'll be all right tomorrow. Good night, beloved.
I didn't love Richard Mannering. I despised him. For his weakness. For his abject, almost ingenuous love for me. And yet, for what it was worth to me in position, in wealth, in the wretchedness it would cause him, I must marry Richard Mannering. And since, oddly, he never spoke of marriage, I did. We'd been driving in the country and had parked on a bluff looking down on the Hudson. I decided that the hurt and silent matter suited my purposes best that night.
Cold, darling?
No.
Tired?
Not very.
Is something the matter?
No.
What is it?
Nothing, really. I may be entirely wrong.
Tell me.
It's about your mother.
Go on.
How long have we known each other? 6 months?
And a half.
And I've never met your mother.
Oh.
Which one of us are you ashamed of, Richard?
Raquel, what nonsense.
Oh?
Well, it's just that Mother is a very strange woman.
Don't you think she'll approve of me?
Why shouldn't she approve of you?
Or perhaps you think she'll approve too much.
What do you mean?
It might turn out embarrassingly for you. She might pick a wife for you.
Oh, that's it.
Don't misunderstand me, Richard. I'm no little thing looking for a husband.
I know that.
I'm simply accustomed to being treated frankly and, above all, with the respect and dignity I deserve and demand.
What do you want me to do?
Nothing. Just take me home.
After that?
Nothing. We won't see each other again.
No, Raquel, no. Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying or even what I'm thinking.
Perhaps you are mad.
Well, perhaps I am, but have pity on me for it. Raquel, be kind to me. Love me, Raquel. Love me.
I do love you, Richard.
Oh, Raquel, my dearest, my darling.
Hush. We're a couple of mischievous children trying to hurt each other.
We mustn't.
Then let's forget it, shall we?
One way of fixing a hurt when you're little children is to run home to Mother. Raquel, I do want you to meet my mother. I want her to love you, too.
And that is how it was done. And there was part of the riddle of Richard's actions, his mother, who sent him to do her errands, who dominated him completely. I could get along with a woman like that. I did get along with her. She liked me the moment we stepped into her fine old Connecticut home. That very evening, Richard came leaping up the stairs into my candlelit room.
Darling, Mother likes you.
Oh, I'm so glad, dear.
It's all right now. Raquel, let me call a party here for Saturday night. Let me announce our engagement then.
Oh, Richard.
Say yes, darling. Say yes.
Oh, yes, darling. Yes, yes. I thought I gave a rather nice, restrained, breathless performance. After he'd gone, I walked slowly around the room with that smile on my lips. Poor man, I thought. Poor, wretched bridegroom. And I laughed. And then suddenly stopped and shivered and wondered why I hated him so.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Moonlight Sonata, starring Anita Louise, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Raquel slept restlessly that night in the home of Richard Mannering, the wealthy young man she had determined to marry. Then suddenly, in the middle of the night, she sat bolt upright in bed. Someone was playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata downstairs. Who could be playing the piano at this hour? Raquel got up, threw on a dressing gown, and lit a candle. Grotesque shadows danced and postured on the walls. She moved toward the door. Then she stopped cold. She had passed the dressing table and its fine colonial mirror, and a wind that smelled of catacombs seemed to run through her. She had seen an image in the looking glass, but the image was not hers. Slowly, she turned to the glass and looked again.
Oh! Who are you?
You.
Who are you?
You.
What do you want of me?
Me.
Answer me. Can't you anything but my own last words? Have you a mind? Have you a will? A life or a being? Answer me. Answer me or I'll smash you! I'll smash you!
Raquel, what happened?
Happened?
Well, I heard you scream and I ran up here.
Here?
I found you here unconscious and the glass in that big watercolor painting near the dresser was shattered.
Shattered?
Raquel, you're just repeating my last words.
I had a dream.
Are you all right now?
Yes, I can get up now. Help me and then go to bed, dear. I'll be all right now.
No more bad dreams last night, darling?
Here at breakfast, I can't even remember the one I had.
Are you subject to dreams like that?
I seldom dream.
Well, Mother's in town now getting a new glass for that picture you smashed.
I'm sorry.
Martin Luther threw an inkwell at the devil. My fiancé throws perfume at heaven knows what.
Maybe the same target.
Hmm?
It was a dream. Let's forget it. That night, strange music haunted my sleep again. I sat up suddenly in bed. I lit a candle. Slowly, I walked to the mirror. Behind the mist that breathed on the cold glass sat the thing, the woman in the looking glass. I had to speak. I had to challenge her. Somehow, I felt my very soul was in the balance. I spoke. See here. Tell me, am I mad?
Mad.
Who are you?
You.
What do you want?
Love him.
Richard?
Richard.
Who loves him? You? You?
Not you.
I do love him.
You lie.
Wait. I think I know you.
You.
Let me see. Let me look.
Look.
One of us is mad.
Mad.
Not I. Not I.
You.
No.
Not I.
I.
Why do you torture him?
Him?
See, I am the stronger now. You are the echo now.
Now.
I've won. I'm stronger. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I fainted again, but made no outcry, and so Richard did not know of the second dream. The next evening was the evening of our engagement party. Shortly before the guests began to arrive, I went up to my room for a short nap before I dressed. When I woke up, it was to the candle half burned down, and that familiar, fiendish, lovely music shimmering in my brain again. I looked toward the mirror. Deliberately, I held my hand in the flame until the screaming pain ran up my arms and across my shoulders, flooding my body. This was no dream. One did not burn without waking up. I rose. I walked to the mirror. She was waiting for me. Well?
Well?
What do you want of me?
Me?
I'm tired. I can't fight you anymore.
Don't fight me anymore.
What do you want?
Love, Richard.
I do.
You lie. Go to the closet there.
Yes?
Pinned in black paper is a lovely gown.
Yes?
Wear it.
Wear it?
Go.
I went to the closet. I found the gown in black tissue. I put it on. It fit perfectly, beautifully. I went back to the mirror. I sat down. She was still there.
Now, your hair.
Yes?
Wear your hair as I wear mine.
Yes? There, I've done it. Now?
Now, look at yourself.
How? I've no image. Only you. You.
Look at yourself. Look.
I looked. The woman looked back. Then slowly, the mist on the mirror dissolved. For the first time, I saw the woman clearly. And she was beautiful. Beautiful and sweet. And she smiled at me as I looked. And I smiled back. And leaned closer. The image leaned closer. I lifted my hand to my hair. The image lifted her hand. I sat back again. The image sat back. And all at once I realized that the strange woman in the glass was gone, and that the reflection in the mirror was my own. At last. And then I heard Richard's mother rapping at the door, telling me that the guests were arriving. And I said, "Yes, Mother, yes." And she went away. Then I rose and went to the door. I went down the fine winding staircase. And one by one the guests turned to look up at me and to stare at me. And I knew that I was beautiful, and that Richard loved me and I loved Richard. And the piano stopped. I saw Richard come to me out of the crowd, and his eyes were filled with wonder and adoration. And last of all, with a wild, unruly joy, he cried out to me.
Christina! Christina!
Richard!
You've been away for 6 long years, since that terrible day when I let Mother send you away from me, because she was strong and I was weak, because she hated you and I adored you.
I only remember going away to forget you, forget your mother, forget my hurt, my despair. The mind plays strange tricks to save itself from hurt. I forgot. Without knowing it, I became someone else. I became Raquel Fabre, efficient, hard, seeking.
And as Raquel Fabre, I found you again that afternoon in the store.
I was seeking something. You. Something in my subconscious mind demanded an eye for an eye, a hurt for a hurt. Something out of the forgotten past urged me to find you, to hurt you as you'd hurt me. Then this house and the music.
You loved Moonlight Sonata when you were Christina.
And the image in the looking glass was myself. It was myself, but as I had been myself in the mirror 6 years before. Then things began to come back.
The image was your true self fighting to win you back. Oh, Christina, you were cruel and evil as Raquel, but I had to love you because you were so like Christina.
It's all over now, Richard.
Over. And just beginning.
Darling, you love me because I reminded you of Christina. Please, please never hate me because I remind you of Raquel.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Moonlight Sonata. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Anita Louise. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Anita Louise?
Thank you, Art.
Anita, we're all indebted to you for giving us such a fine performance today. It was wonderful.
Well, that's very kind of you. It's been a great pleasure for me.
Incidentally, folks tell me you're quite an accomplished harpist. Your day must be full between acting and music.
And motherhood, Art. I have 2 healthy youngsters, you know. Both of them raised from the cradle on Carnation, by the way.
Well, in that case, Anita, you know that there's no finer milk for babies than Carnation evaporated milk. Isn't that so?
Indeed it is.
Carnation's store of important milk minerals and vitamin D is just what babies need for good bone and teeth development. And certainly, no milk could be easier to digest, even for the delicate systems of the tiniest babies. What's more, mothers know Carnation to be absolutely safe milk. Carnation is first pasteurized and then sterilized after the can is sealed. Is it really any wonder 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it?
It's no wonder to me, Art.
Nor to me. Carnation is the milk every doctor knows. And now, Anita, from a grateful sponsor to a splendid actress and Carnation mother, this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Oh, thank you so much, Art. They're very beautiful. Now, would you tell me what you've planned for next week's show?
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be one of Movie Town's very young stars, Dean Stockwell.
Oh, he was so good in The Boy with the Green Hair. And the story?
It's a very touching play about a young orphan boy who wants a daddy so much he creates one. The title is Home's Not a Place.
I'll certainly be listening. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Anita. Miss Louise may currently be seen in the Warner Brothers production, Retreat Hell. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Milton Geiger, Supporting Miss Louise were Bill Johnstone and Betty Lou Gerson. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey, and the program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger, suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Dean Stockwell in Home's Not a Place. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stars Over Hollywood on Tuned to Yesterday from May 31st, 1952 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now a story on the theater of romance called Springtime for Henry, written by author Ben Levy, whose other radio credits include the Lux Radio Theater and his story Mrs. Moonlight about a woman who never grows old. It was also adapted on the program Romance. This CBS broadcast of Springtime for Henry was first heard on February 27, 1945.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Victor Moore in Springtime for Henry. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stories and plays. And here is your host to tell you about tonight's presentation, Springtime for Henry, starring Victor Moore with Joan Alexander.
It was spring, a time of peace and sunshine. That time of year when man is at peace with himself and with his fellow man. Yes, it was spring. For everyone but Henry.
Hello, hello, operator. Give me Walnut 9970, please. Now hurry up about it. Oh, darn it, darn it, darn it, darn it. Darn everybody. Hello? Hello, Walnut 9970? Well, this is Mr. Dulip, Mr. Henry Dulip. Yeah, that girl, that secretary you sent, has just left. Of course I wasn't rude to her. I didn't say a word about her. I said something about her mother, but not a word about her. Then out she bounced. Now, you get someone else over here just as fast as you can. What would I like? Well, let me see. Someone blonde, in her 20s, and about size 16, I would say. Certainly it's the secretary I want. All right, as soon as possible, please. Oh, darn it, darn it, darn everybody.
Good morning, Henry. What's the matter with you? Lose another secretary? I'm sure I don't know why all your secretaries fall in love with you.
I'm fascinating to women, that's all. I was born that way. My mother adored me.
Have you ever been in love yourself, Henry?
Well, let me see. No. Now that I come to think of it, I don't believe I have. I never really like a woman after I get acquainted with her. Love is not for me. I'm the eternal bachelor, the man about town, the light of love, the light of heart. No woman has ever run my life, and no woman ever will.
I beg your pardon. The door was open, so I just walked in.
Well, 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 good morning. My name is Jellywell. This is Mr. Dulip.
Who are you?
I'm Angela Smith, your new secretary. Blonde, 27, and size 16. That's what you asked for, wasn't it, Mr. Dulip?
Oh, well. Must you be going, Mr. Jellywell? Well, come around again sometime.
Well, I just happen to be in the neighborhood, old boy. But from now on, I'll drop in often. Goodbye for the moment, Miss Smith.
Goodbye. I've heard quite a lot about you. So, Mr. Dulip, perhaps we should clear something up right at the beginning. I come from a rather straight-laced family in a small town, and my own attitude is extremely straight-laced on all counts.
That's a very dreary way to start a relationship.
I just thought it ought to be crystal clear from the beginning.
Miss Smith, I don't think I like you very well.
You don't have to like me if my work is good, and it is. As a matter of fact, I don't like you.
Why don't you like me? Why not?
Why, you're conceited, you're arrogant, you're thoroughly spoiled. You think that all women are madly in love with you, and that no woman in the whole world is good enough for you.
You were listening outside the door.
I was waiting for a spot to break in.
Well, you're fired.
All right. Give me my $35 and I'll go.
$35?
That's my week's pay. You have to pay at least a week when you engage anyone from the agency. I'm sure you're familiar with the rules.
Well, I'm not paying a week's wages for nothing.
That, of course, is your prerogative. I'm perfectly willing to work for a week. Well, Mr. Dulip?
Miss Smith, if you work here for a week, one of us is going to change, and it won't be me.
Well, it certainly won't be me. Do you wish to dictate?
Well, naturally I wish to dictate. Are you ready?
Yes.
May 23rd, darling.
Darling, yes?
Darling, I have so much to say to you. But somehow, when I'm with you, is that too fast for you, Miss Smith?
Not in the least, thank you.
Well, when I'm with you, I can't say it. That is why I'm writing. Although I shall be seeing you so soon.
You so soon?
I long to take you in my arms, to feel your heart beating, pounding, quivering.
Personally, I prefer beating.
To feel your heart pounding against mine. When shall that be? Till then, all my love to you, Henry. Now then, Miss Smith, make 3 copies of that. Send one to Mrs. J. Hellowell. One to Lady Crichton. And one to Miss Janet Harlow. You'll find their addresses in the telephone book. I suppose I've shocked you.
Not at all. You haven't even surprised me.
You know, it's a pity, Miss Smith, that you and I decided to become enemies. We might have been such good friends.
Perhaps we may yet, if you change.
Oh, I'll never change. I'm exceedingly attractive the way I am. Well, I'm going to lunch. What a week this is going to be. What a week. Therefore, it is my considered opinion that the Dulip automobile has a very satisfactory carburetor and does not need a change at this moment. That's all, Miss Smith. You wouldn't care to have dinner with me, would you?
Sorry, Mr. Dulip. I always go home for dinner. I don't happen to have any plans for lunch tomorrow.
I always have plans for lunch, Miss Smith.
Here are the letters for you to sign, Mr. Dulip.
Well, your nose is red. So are your eyes. Have you caught cold?
No. It's my last day, Mr. Dulip.
Oh. Well, good luck, Miss Smith. I'm going out to lunch now. I'll see you before you go. I have a very important luncheon engagement.
Yes, Mr. Dulip.
I always have an important luncheon engagement.
Yes, Mr. Dulip.
I shall now go to it. One hot dog, please, with mustard.
Right away, Sheriff.
One hot dog, please, without mustard.
Yes, miss.
Why, Mr. Dulip, what are you doing here?
That is my business, Miss Smith. What do you mean, following me around?
Your hot dog, miss.
Thanks. I'm not following you around, Mr. Dulip. It just seemed a nice day to have a hot dog in the park. Don't you think we might share a park bench? There's one that isn't occupied.
I thought I have some very important matters to think about.
Well, so have I. We don't have to talk. Let's just sit.
Mr. Dulip, sorry. Just what is it you want in a man, anyhow?
Do you really want to know?
I have a certain amount of curiosity about it, yes.
Well, what I want is not so very different from what every woman wants. I want someone who is kind and good and very attractive. And I want someone who will love me very much and never look at another woman.
Never?
Oh, never.
There's no such man anywhere.
My mother found a man like that, and I think that if I hunt long enough, I will.
I don't think you'd like him if you found him. I'll tell you why. Now, take me, for example. If I were to say to you, Angela, Miss Smith, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. You'd know I meant it because I've seen so many beautiful women. We'd better go back to the office. There's too much spring loose in this park. A man could get into trouble on a day like this. Confounded birds and bees and baby carriages all over the place. Giving a man ideas.
Henry, please kiss me.
Oh, may I? I've been wanting to all week, you know. Oh, Angela, I'm horribly afraid. I'm terribly in love with you.
I'm in love with you, too. Oh, darling, isn't it wonderful? There's never been a spring like this before in all the world.
Well, there certainly hasn't been one like it for Henry Dulip.
You're so wonderful, Henry.
Yes, I know it. You're a very discerning woman, Angela.
And you won't drink anymore or gamble or run around with women, will you?
Well, I'll try not to. Angela, I'm a man and I'm human. Oh, dear, with all the women in the world... Why did I have to fall in love with such a good one?
Colgate tooth powder keeps smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Romance puts wings on your feet and stars in your eyes. Romance is a pair of rose-colored glasses through which all the world looks wonderful. Yet just let a little breath of trouble intrude and goodbye, romance. I hope that this little breath of trouble, its unpleasing breath, won't ruin your romance. Don't take a chance. What to do? Why, it's very simple. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Yes, night and morning and before every date. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. As for cleaning, no dentifrice at any price will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder. Why not get it tonight?
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate.
Now, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Act Two of Springtime for Henry, starring Victor Moore with Joan Alexander. A month later, we find Henry in his office with Julia Jellywell, George's wife.
Well, Henry, remember me?
Of course.
Aren't you going to kiss me, Henry?
Oh, no. You think I'm the kind of man to go about the world kissing the wives of my best friends?
You certainly always have been.
Well, I'm not the man I was. I've been fortunate enough to see the error of my ways. I don't drink anymore. I don't gamble.
What do you do?
None of your business.
Who's the woman, Henry?
My secretary, Miss Smith. Very remarkable woman, Georgia. You won't like her, but she's remarkable, I'll say.
Where is she?
Her office is in there.
Do you mind if I go in and see this woman who was able to make a new man of Henry Dulles?
No, just help yourself.
Are you Mr. Dulles' typist?
I'm his secretary.
My husband always gets his girls from Baker's. He says they're so hard-working and quite cheap. Were you trained at Baker's?
No, but then I probably wouldn't suit your husband. I'm not at all cheap. You're Mrs. Jellywell, aren't you?
Yes. How did you know?
Well, Henry described you to me. I was curious about all the women who received Henry's form letters.
Form letters? What are you talking about?
Oh, one of the darling, you are the only woman in my life, love, Henry letters.
How dare you talk to me like this?
Sorry, I didn't realize you were in love with Henry.
Miss Smith, I hope you are not in love with Mr. Dulles, because he'll grow tired of you, just like most of the other women he's known. As a matter of fact, judging from the way he kissed me, I'd say he was tired already.
He kissed you?
Why, yes. Henry always kisses me in the spring, and he'll go right on kissing me.
Going home, Henry. Is there anything more you'd like me to do?
I'd like you to kiss me.
Not tonight, Henry.
Angela, I have something to tell you. You might almost regard it as sort of confession.
Yes, Henry.
Well, I'm a new man, and I like it. For this month, I've been happier than I've ever been. I'm going to live all the rest of my life just as I've lived this month.
Why, we've always been frank with one another, Henry. This is no time to stop. I know you kissed Julia this afternoon. I know you still love her.
Kissed Julia? You're crazy.
Why, Henry, if there's anything worse than a liar, it's a cheat.
I'll be hanged if I'm going to stand here and let you accuse me of things I haven't had the fun of doing.
The phone is ringing. Shall I answer it?
Oh, hang the phone. Do you believe me or don't you?
I'm afraid I don't, Henry.
That's just great. That's just dandy. Hello? No one's here. They've all gone to China. Who's calling her? Pierre.
Oh, give me that phone. Hello? Yes, Mrs. Johnson. Oh, I know I'm late. Is he in bed? Why, of course I'll be home to kiss him goodnight. I'll be right there, Mrs. Johnson. Goodbye.
Just who is Pierre?
Don't shout at me, Henry.
Who is Pierre?
Pierre is my son.
Your what?
My little boy. The landlady looked after him for me. I'm usually home before this.
Your son? What? Am I to understand? Are you going to imply that you are married?
Why, of course we were married. I think you're forgetting yourself.
Miss Smith, will you kindly hand me my hat? No, don't trouble. I'll get it myself. There are more kinds of cheats than one, Miss Smith. I wish you good evening.
Where are you going?
Oh, out to do something desperate. Maybe to drown my sorrows. Maybe to drown myself. Anything, absolutely anything I could think of to make me forget you. And next spring, I hope someone locks me up the whole season. Good night, Miss Smith.
Where is he? Where's that scoundrel, that wastrel?
I don't know, Mr. Jellywell. I've been sitting here in the office all night trying to locate him.
That bounder's broken my wife's heart. She's been crying all night.
Why?
He told her he was in love with you.
He did?
A cad, upsetting my wife like that.
He told her he was in love with me? Oh, Mr. Jellywell. That's the most beautiful thing you've ever said.
Well, I'm going out and hunt for him some more. Oh, buck up, old girl.
Hello? No. No, he isn't. Yes, I'll have him call if he comes in. Goodbye. Henry! Henry, you're back. You've caught a cold. It's been raining, Henry. Aren't you going to answer me?
I'm not conscious that you've asked me anything. I'm back. I have caught cold. It has been raining.
How did you catch a cold?
By walking about the park all night when it was raining.
Why did you do that?
I like the park. I once was very happy there.
Henry, I'm sorry I said those things about Julia. I know you didn't kiss her.
I'm sorry, no, I didn't.
I stayed here all night waiting for you.
You should have been home with your husband.
I don't have a husband.
Last night you said you had.
He's been dead for over a year, Henry.
Oh, why didn't you say so last night before I went out and caught cold?
You never gave me a chance to.
I didn't.
No. Henry, I have something to tell you. You might call it a sort of confession.
Yes, Angela?
Well, last night I was sure you'd go and do all the things you promised not to do. I was sure you'd gamble and drink and come home with six women on each arm.
And you were waiting here to comfort me and bawl me out.
No, Henry. I was waiting to tell you that I love you no matter what you did. The love wasn't something I could just turn on and off like an electric light. Henry, I don't want to reform you anymore. I just want to marry you. Henry, you can shout at me all you want. You can even beat me as long as you don't stop loving me.
Angela, my dear, my sweet.
So there you are, you reprobate. You scoundrel.
Oh, hello, Jellywell. Nice of you to drop in. Drop in again sometime when you're in the neighborhood. We're a little busy just now.
God bless you. Now, see here, Henry Julep. Julia's home crying her eyes out over you. You can't throw my wife aside like an old shoe.
You'll have to take care of your own wife, Jellywell. I'm going to be very busy taking care of mine.
Henry and I are going to be married, Mr. Jellywell. I think you were just about to kiss me, Henry.
Oh, that's right, so I was.
You can't kiss that man, Angela. He's a cauldron of germs. He's got a cold.
Well, I can't think of a nicer way in the world to catch a cold.
Darling, come on, let's go for a walk in the park.
It's raining.
I'll get my coat.
Oh, you're mad, both of you. Absolutely mad.
If we are, we'll take a little more of the same. Come on, Angela. See you around, Jellywell.
Goodbye, Mr. Jellywell. See you around.
And Jellywell, if you don't mind, old boy, I'd like to take this occasion of wishing you and Julia and everybody in the whole darn world a very happy springtime.
Betty had a beau. Betty and her boyfriend were seen everywhere together, but that was last year. Something happened. Something ruined Betty's romance. She didn't suspect it was a little breath of trouble. What a pity if this breath of trouble, unpleasing breath, were to spoil your romance. Well, don't take a chance. I'll tell you what. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder, the tooth powder that cleans your teeth as it cleans your breath. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. So use Colgate tooth powder for all it's worth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
In tonight's play, Victor Moore starred as Henry, and Joan Alexander was heard as Angela.
Mr. and Mrs. Jellywell were played by Doris Dalton and Horace Brand. Springtime for Henry, a play by Ben Levy, was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway. The music was composed and conducted by Ben Ludlow, and the entire production was directed by Mark Sloan.
And now, hello from Halo Shampoo.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo. Never use a soap, for soaping dulls your hair. Halo means natural beauty the first time that you use it. You need no lemon rinsing after you use it. So halo, everybody, halo. Halo shampoo, halo.
Until next week at this same time, when Colgate Tooth Powder's Theater of Romance brings you Clifton Webb in Blithe Spirit, this is your host saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
Does your family like cheese, butter, and good red meat? Well, those foods sure eat up the red points. Well, why not get some extra red points every week? Save your kitchen fat and take it to your butcher. He'll pay you 2 red ration points plus 4 cents a pound for that used fat. You can use the points, and Uncle Sam needs the fat. For kitchen fat is used in making munitions, soap for the home front and battlefront, drugs for our soldiers, and scores of vital war supplies. So please save every drop of used kitchen fat. Skim it off the soup. Rescue the drippings from the roasting pan. Trim the fat off the chops. Save the bacon grease. It's grease for the wheels of victory. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Theater of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS episode from February 27th, 1945. Wrapping up this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.